Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, maybe you've heard this phrase before, give a gift, change a life. Maybe you've heard it so many times it's sort of become background noise to you, but I want to bring it to the forefront of your mind. Listen to me now, a gift rightly placed has the power to forever change a life, which then changes the world. So we at Faith Radio are so honored to be partnering with One Child again this year because Jesus cares deeply about those who live in poverty. He loves the little children. In fact, He asks us in no uncertain terms to take up the cause, to care for and advocate for them. In fact, Scripture even says, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and He will repay you. Think about that. It's like God Himself is saying, will you do me a favor? Will you do me a favor? Will you tend to these dear souls? Care for them, and I will pay you back. Care for them, and I will pay you back. Will you tend to those that my heart breaks for? Just $39 a month, a little more than a dollar a day, to change the life of one child. Your sponsorship allows a child to receive food, nutrition, educational, medical assistance, and they get to hear about Jesus. We are talking today and tomorrow all about One Child. And you can even meet these kids and read their stories and even maybe help one today. On our website, go to myfaithradio.com. So today, I'm honored to welcome a couple of my colleagues to the show. First half hour, you're going to hear from Paul Perreault. I've always said he's an unsung hero. He adds so much strength and wisdom to our team. He's Carmen's producer in the morning. And the fact that he's still here after getting up as early as he did to help Carmen is amazing. Second half, Amanda Nidham joins me on the show. She's our listener engagement director. Both of these two friends have traveled with One Child and have seen firsthand the great work they do. So without further ado, I am going to introduce my guests. I want to invite you, though, if you got questions about sponsoring a child, we'll do our best to answer them. Our text line's open. Text me 877-933-2484. If you're like, I'm just ready, and I'll take any child they give me, you can call 800-864-0200, and you'll hear that number quite a few times. If you want to see the faces of these darling children, go to myfaithradio.com. Paul Perreault is assistant program director, and he's the producer for Mornings with Carmen LaBerge. In 2021, he had the opportunity to travel to Honduras with the One Child team. Paul, welcome back to the show. Always good to talk with you.
Always good to talk to you too, Suzy.
You're one of my fundraising buddies. So there's firepower. You and Angie and I get together. It's pretty fun.
So. Let's hope so. And I'm a little tired. So any flashing and noise we can make to keep me awake is okay.
Okay. Let's do it. Well, because we do the same thing every day, I got to do it. And so you probably weren't prepped for this, but every day we ask the same question. What's the Lord been talking about these days? So just in your time with the Lord, what's He impressing on your heart?
Oh, boy. Now, that is a good question when you're asking it that way. As you mentioned some stuff before the show, I mean, I've been in a situation with my family where because of a divorce and some stuff, I was alienated from my kids. And things are starting to come together. I'm getting reconnected, which is wonderful, with some of my kids. I still have one more that I have not yet connected with. But it's just, okay, I've been patient and waiting, and God is finally making it happen. It's like, it's just one of those, see Paul, hang in there, be faithful, see Paul. Mm. It's happening. And there are many times it's just, why am I doing this? Why am I still putting myself out there to try and reach out to the kids when there was no response back? This is why. And it's, it's kind of just that reinforcement as we live in a world where it's like we keep trying and things keep falling flat. There's so much stress in the world, so much strain. And it's like, I've been praying, God, your kingdom come. When is it going to come? Mm. It's going to happen. Don't worry. It's going to happen. So.
You know, Paul, you're one of about four very dear people in my life who've been praying and waiting for breakthroughs with their kids of some in some way, shape, or form, and have had it very recently.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder, Angie, is this the season of miracles? I think it really is. That God cares about our kids. He cares about those in poverty. He hears their cry. He hears our cry. And he's a miracle-working God. I know you and I both believe that.
Yes, are you talking to me? Sorry.
Yes, I am. Looking straight
talking
at you.
To you. Yeah, talking
yes.
to you.
Yes, and I appreciate what you said, Paul, about the reminder of that God still is at work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to remind ourselves of that when that doesn't feel true, that even though it doesn't feel true, it still is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's been very exciting to see that.
So good. We're standing with you, Paul. We've watched you behind the scenes, patiently wait, patiently persevere. And a lesser heart may have given up a long time ago, but I'm just saying, be strengthened, take heart, friend, because Jesus is an overcomer. So we're helping children overcome today, tomorrow, every day, but we're really doing a push today and tomorrow. We're really praying we can get many children sponsored. And Paul, before I ask for your story, I've got to just highlight two kids that I'm looking at. If you go to myfaithradio.com, you'll see a bunch of them. But I can't take my eyes off of these two. Brito Mistry, he's a boy from Bangladesh, and he's 11 years old. His personality demeanor is cooperative, curious, energetic, generous, and respectful. He likes his balls, his cars, his colored pencils, coloring book, stuffed toy. He loves family outings, football, soccer, hide-and-seek, riding bicycle. He likes to help his parents with chores around the house. He's most thankful for his family and his child champions and the Hope Center. When he's grown, he wants to be an educator or a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Super grateful for all the just the opportunities that have been afforded him. So amazing. Okay, Paul, let's talk about you taking the trip. How did you first know I need to make this trip with one child?
Well, I mean, after we decided as an organization, Northwestern Media, to work with one child, they were asking people around the various stations, including Faith Radio, would you consider going? And I thought, I've never done something like this before. And I was scared about it, but I thought, let's do it. Let's do it and let's go.
Mm.
And I'm glad I did.
What kind of fears did you have, Paul, that made you wonder?
Well, I mean, I was just newly married, traveling to a place that was, I had never been in an area that there's poverty, plus I've heard of some unrest in Honduras at the time. It's like, is this really the wise place to go? But glad I did.
So when you landed, what did you expect and what did you experience?
Well, I wasn't really knowing what to expect. I mean, you hear these reports, and I was thinking of, okay, gang violence or whatever. Okay, yeah, that's there. Flying in, I mean, first off, you notice how beautiful the country is when you're coming in on the air. I mean, it's beautiful, the hills and such. It's just gorgeous. And thankfully, we came in the dry season, so we didn't have to worry about muddy roads and such because there's not a lot of paved roads in places. But as the plane's coming in, then it really started taking shape where, okay, from the air it looks great, but as you're getting closer, you're seeing broken down buildings. The airport runs by an area that's kind of a slum, and a lot of buildings are just dilapidated. There's rubble everywhere, and of the stuff that's standing, it's like stuff put piecemeal together. They find a piece of wood here. They find some sheet metal here. They find some broken cement, and they start putting things together to make homes for themselves. And it's like, okay, yeah, we have poverty here in the United States, but if you go through a lot of social services, usually you can have a relatively nice place. A lot of these places, as somebody said earlier, we have chicken coops that look nicer than a lot of these houses.
Wow. Talk about the governmental structure. In other words, what I'm saying is how stable or unstable is it as far as do gangs really have the run of things? Is there law enforcement that's effective or what's your sense there?
Well, okay, the government is functional, but it's corrupt. And so there's a lot of foul play that's happening there. So the government is there. There are some social services and such. That's all there. And there are police. That's there. But there's also very large groups of gangs in various places. And as a matter of fact, there's various territories when you're traveling in the main city of Tegucigalpa. So you got to be careful when you're traveling from one gang's area to another. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people in the country, from what I hear, is the average person is able to get along okay because they just kind of fly under the radar because you have the police and the government trying to keep the gangs at bay, and the gangs are keeping the government at bay. So it's like there's kind of a stalemate going on, a bit of a Cold War or, you know, something like that. And the average person is just kind of under the radar. They're not seen.
Wow. What was it like to visit the Hope Centers?
That was amazing because, okay, you're driving, we're riding a bus to these various Hope Centers, and you see, you're going through areas that are nice and then areas just a few blocks away, totally in poverty, but you're going through all these areas and then finally you get to the Hope Center. A lot of them, you know, they're going to have fences around them because they got to protect themselves and protect the kids. Once you get inside, it's different. Things are generally very clean. The kids, instead of having this scared look in their face, there's a peace in their eyes. There's a joy in them because they know they're safe. They know there's people there who love them and who are there to fight for them and also to help them grow. Because they're not finding it outside of the walls in many cases, especially those in poverty.
Wow, it must feel like a safe place and a safe space. Yeah. Ange, what do you want to say?
I was just thinking about how like how the people have to fly under the radar, and mm-hmm. then you like you might feel unseen. You know, you're trying to make yourself invisible, but then the contrast of right. their experience in the Hope Center.
That is a good way of looking at it because, yeah, in some sense, they don't want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
But at the other sense, it just adds to the isolation a lot of these people feel and the hopelessness that they feel. And there's a reason people flee countries like Honduras and Nicaragua and such trying to come to the United States. There's no hope at home for them. They don't see it. Mm-hmm. And even if just one family member going, which oftentimes leaves the mom and the kids alone, again, it just feeds to the sense of hopelessness that they have.
Incredible. We're supposed to be hope dispensers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know? So talk about what you learned about one child and the genius behind their infrastructure of how they work, that, you know, that the idea of Hope Centers, the idea of sponsoring children. What have you learned, Paul, that you feel like we need to know?
The biggest thing that I'm excited about is the fact that, unlike a lot of other, I'm not dissing other organizations, but structurally, they oftentimes are people from our country who go there, they set up a, if you want to call it a mission or whatever, to do something. And what's different about One Child is these are church-based. These are the people who live there. These are the people
something.
Who are invested in this community. And they're saying, okay, God put us here. This is our mission. This is our home. These are our people. These are the ones God told us to minister to. So working through the children, let's reach the entire community, which is what happens. It starts with the children, but it doesn't stop there.
So they're really working with natives in that right. country who are already planted and ministering and in action, you know,
right.
movement, engaged with their communities. And they're coming alongside saying, let's support
right.
you. Let's help you. Ange, it looked like you had something else you wanted to say.
Well, I was just thinking about when you came back, you know, the people that are working in those Hope Centers, mm-hmm. you kept talking about the mama bears
yeah.
that you encountered.
Yeah. These people are pretty, I won't say ferocious, but they're committed. Okay, one was pretty ferocious. one of the directors of one of the Hope
mamas.
Centers, mm-hmm. Okay, there was a teenage girl who was part of the Hope Center, and there was a gang member who was romantically interested in this young lady, and he was trying to woo her away. And the director, the mama bear, basically said, She, matter of fact, went to this gang member's boss, the head gang of the gang, and basically
wow.
saying, you tell your guy to keep your hands off my kids.
Wow.
And the guy was kind of going, wait, there's a respect for these Hope Centers, even among the
wow.
gangs, that it's like, all right, you telling this lower gang member, you leave them alone. You leave mama and those kids alone. They are off limits to you. So, I mean,
wow.
there's enough respect of these because even the gangs are seeing what they're doing for the kids
right.
of the community, including some of the gang
some
members.
Some of their own children.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Some of them, they want something better for their kids other than just being in these gangs and all the fighting and all the other stuff that goes on. They want their kids to succeed in life. They want them to get an education. Now, the fact they're getting the gospel in there, I hope that makes a difference to them, but it is definitely making a difference for the kids.
Yeah, it's giving the kids a hope and a future. Not just a hope for life on earth, but a hope and a future. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I'll have you share a little bit about the child that you sponsor. I think her name is Maylin, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. You want to get a look at these kids, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and check them all out and pray. Ask God, who would you have me help? Brito Mystery, I'm looking at. I love the name. And Kanika Long. She's a girl from Cambodia. You got to just see her, the smile on her face. And she wants to be an educator. And she's asking for prayers for protection, which just jumped out at me because she knows that she's living in a vulnerable, volatile area. And it seems that when these kids come to the Hope Center, they find a safe place, which is beautiful. They're getting educated. They're getting food. And they're given a hope and a future. You can sponsor a child now if you just want to call the 800 number. It's 800-864-0200, 800-864-0200. And we'll be back in just a moment. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I'm so excited to tell you about my brand new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Towards Healing and Wholeness. There's something about a 40-day journey, about taking one day at a time and retraining your heart and mind to move from bracing for impact, waiting for that next shoe to drop, to fully anticipating the goodness of God. Thanks to our partnership with W Publishing, Faith Radio is giving away 100 copies of my brand new book, and I'm so excited to get a copy in your hands. You can register to win now at myfaithradio.com.
One moment.
One moment.
One child.
One child.
One day at the Hope Center, they gave us a toothbrush. I had never had my own toothbrush before. Now I want to be a dentist.
Wow, never had a toothbrush before, and now he wants to be a dentist. This is a child in poverty, may not own a toothbrush. In fact, that's a common occurrence. This is a child from Nicaragua, and they just simply said, I've never had a toothbrush, but now, attending Hope Center, this one child Hope Center provided children good meals to eat, educational assistance, dental checkups, toothbrushes, to the point that one need being met. Cast a vision for this young little one, and now he wants to be a dentist. Wow. There's another story of a doctor who was serving in the Hope Center who noticed a child sickness and diagnosed this child correctly, got them to the hospital, and literally saved their lives. This is just right people being in the right place at the right time because you gave a gift and you changed a life. And we're partnering with One Child in hopes to sponsor as many children as possible. If you want to prayerfully just look at which child you would love to sponsor, go to our website, myfaithradio.com. If you just already know, I've got to help someone, I don't care who it is, I'll trust them to give us the child that we need to be connected to, you can call right away, 800-864-0200. Paul Perot is my guest today. He's our assistant program director. He's a producer of Carmen's show in the morning, and he made a trip with the One Child team. And I would love for you to say a bit more before we say goodbye to you, Paul, about the Hope Centers. What do we need to know about those?
Well, again, they're very diverse. I mean, of the, I think I saw five of them, and they're not all the same because, again, they are run by churches who see the need in their community and respond accordingly. Now, the first one we visited is probably one of the older ones in Honduras near the capital, and it was amazing because, okay, they showed which building they started out in. It was a small building, little kitchen and such, but they have grown. They have lots of kids there. I forgot the number, but when we got there, they were standing on the steps of this large octangular building that they use as a meeting hall for their bigger meetings, and they were cheering us on, singing to us, and that was one of the buildings they had. They had several buildings, including these nice classrooms. One was especially air-conditioned so they could have computers in there. These kids are getting a good education and skills training right there in the Hope Center. And they even had a soccer field that was set up. Now, the thing that was the shocker when they were telling us, and we're kind of all going, wow, this is amazing. That used to be the city dump. There was garbage everywhere. As a matter of fact, the soccer field, there's a few places around the edges that found some rebar in the ground sticking up. It's like, okay, let's pull it up and get that so that nobody hurts themselves. But this place was a junkyard. And that's where the church that was started there, the church has been doing this when they established themselves. Early on, they wanted to reach their community by helping out kids. They converted that whole area. There's now a field of plantains. Love plantains, fried with a little cream on. Anyway, they had that. they did amazing stuff with that area that used to be literally the city dump. Wow. It's just a wonderful picture of the redemptive power of the gospel right there, because these kids are the ones cast out. They're not considered of value. And yet God is saying, yes, you are. And through this church that runs this Hope Center, these kids are learning the value of the gospel. They're learning their value in Jesus. And wow, that right there was like, that was the first Hope Center we visited. And the other ones, it was just, again, amazing to see what these kids were learning, what they were learning about God, and then through that, learning about themselves, the potential that they have to make a difference in their country.
You have to break the cycle of poverty.
Yes. I mean,
you have to step in and break the cycle of poverty, and you rescue one child, and they get food. And, you know, we do some work in Rwanda, and Kev says that a famous phrase in Rwanda is, a hungry stomach has no ears, where, like, they can't hear anything if they're starving. And so to feed them, but then also to train them so they've got some skills and education, and then teach Jesus so they have a hope and a future, it literally is changing their lives, and then their family's life often.
That's the point, too, because as they're helping the kids, a lot of these families, we visited some of their homes. Some of them were literally down a goat path from the Hope Center. You wouldn't want to drive your vehicle on it. We walked there with some food items and other things for a family. Walking into their home, as I said earlier, it's the dry season. I don't know how this house stands in the wet season, because it's kind of a clay hut. And yeah, they had some lights, but just strung electrical lines and, you know, something like you'd see in a shop class, a light in the middle of the room, just, you know, one of those screw-on bulbs attached to an extension cord type thing. It was, how would that be like living in that house during the winter? You know, just one living room and then one or two bedrooms off to the small bedrooms where there's hammocks or mats for them to sleep on. It wasn't pretty. And yet, the Hope Center not only is feeding the kids, many times they're sending the meals home to some of the families. Wow. They're being touched. Many times there's like the families, you know, they're really not into God themselves, but they want help for their kids. But by seeing the love of God on display, seeing their kids' lives changed, the parents are coming around and saying, tell me about why you're doing this. Who's this Jesus? Why are you doing this in his name? Who is he? Yeah. And lives are changed. Families are changed.
Wow. What I'm hearing a lot in that is hospitality.
Yes.
Will you talk a little bit about the hospitality that you experienced when you were down in Honduras?
Well, Hondurans are naturally very hospitable. Mm-hmm. The hospitality, even though it may be a rundown house, they'd be glad to let you in. They'll share what they have with you. They're that generous, even though they don't have. That was the amazing thing, because we're going down to learn, and a lot of the team on Faith Radio, or rather Northwestern Media, they brought items down for the kids. They're the ones giving us stuff. They were giving us little honorary trinkets, you know, T-shirts or whatever, or little, you know, little arts and crafts they put together. Because they wanted to, they had visitors, mm-hmm. and they wanted to show hospitality to their visitors. It's just the way their culture is. It was beautiful. I wish we were half as,
right?
It showed half the hospitality they did.
I mean, talk about a little bit about what you learned from them while you were down there.
Well, just like that. I tend to be kind of, when I'm home, I just try and disconnect. When they're home, they want to connect. And I'm trying to get into the mindset of, even though I'm home, try to make sure you're connected with your neighbors. And I'm still working on that, I'll be honest. But to be connected with each other, because, you know, they understand, especially those in poverty, you stand alone, you know, you're going to fall alone.
You don't stand very long.
You don't stand very long. So that's how they stand together. But then all of a sudden, again, with the Hope Center, with somebody, an organization, with a church standing with their families, again, it makes a difference in their community. It has community-wide effects.
What sticks out to me, too, is what Angie's observation earlier in the show about how you were saying, Paul, that they have to stay off under the radar, mm-hmm. you know, because they're sort of – the gangs are over here and the law enforcement over here, and they're not totally – you know, there's not a clear delineation between this far and no more.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just, you know, this ebb and flow to that. And it's safest for them to just kind of go unnoticed, and yet that's so bad for our soul.
Exactly.
To be known and seen and heard. And so for these – unbelievable church leaders who plant there when they could go anywhere else. They could run away. They could, you know, mm-hmm. but they're planting there going, we have to minister to the people in this community, that God would just meet them in what they're doing, and then have one, you know, one child come along to say, you're doing it. We're going to help you do it. And these kids get into these hope centers, and suddenly they're known, they're seen, they're loved. And those are the things, I mean, Angie, that we cover on the show all the time. Those mm-hmm. are the keys to healing for any heart, don't
right.
you think?
Yeah.
It is very much that way. It is a community building thing. So people are seen, they serve each other, they love each other in the power of Jesus. And again, it has effects that radiate out from there into the community around them. I mean, again, as I mentioned, even the gangs are kind of going, don't touch them. They're doing good here. We need them here. We need them here.
And the fire of God might fall on you if you dare.
Okay, there's that. Yeah, there's that little issue.
I'm just saying. So, you know, I can't get my eyes off of Kanika Long from Cambodia. You know, I think it just stood out to me that she has a vision for her life, but that she added the prayer for protection. You know, that triggers, that touches something in me so deeply because, you know, sexual assault impacts 1 out of 3 women mm-hmm. in the West. Now, when you go to these countries, it's much, much, much higher.
Yeah.
And so I pray that you can sponsor her. I do. But if not, would you remember her? Maybe get a picture of her on the website and remember her. Write her name in your Bible and pray for her. And then there's Samuel and Leohan and Brito Mystery. What a great, I like him. So who can you help today? Give a gift and change a life. And both, I'm going to ask Ange and Paul, any final thoughts as we wrap this segment up?
Well, I became a child sponsor after I got home. I was talking with my wife, Jessica, and saying, we've got to sponsor a child. And so we went and did that. Her name is Maylin. I wanted to be Honduras because being there, I just fell in love with the country. And it has been interesting as a child sponsor interacting with Maylin, just seeing how she's grown. Now, she was about 6-7 years old when we sponsored her. And somebody else was doing her writing, but, you know, they'd ask, what do you want to say? And, okay, a lot of kid kind of stuff. But as she's grown over the last 2 years, and now she's writing the letters, beautiful handwriting for a young kid, and very dab hand, but it's interesting to see what's happening in her heart, how her family has been strengthened because of the Hope Center, how she's been strengthened. I mean, I hear of other kids holding on to their letters that they get from their sponsors and vice versa. And if we ever get a chance to meet, I hope that happens sometime. And, you know, just getting a chance to meet her face to face. But she's starting to realize what benefits she's seeing through the Hope Center, what she's seeing through Jesus. It's starting to take root.
Wow.
And it's, okay, not a front seat or front row seat, but I'm in the auditorium watching this, and it is so beautiful.
Yeah. Imagine. Anything,
Inge? Yeah, being a sponsor is impactful. I mean, we're talking a lot about the way that it's going to impact these kids. It's going to change their world.
Mm-hmm.
Being a child sponsor has changed my world. To be able to watch them and to be able to have the privilege of being a part of it.
Yeah.
And then when you hear, so I have Judea, my husband and I sponsor Judea in the Philippines. So when I hear about something happening in the Philippines, I know,
pray for Judea.
Pray for Judea. And we get to play a part in what God is doing in her life. So yes, it impacts the children. It makes a huge difference in their life. It makes a huge difference in the child sponsor's life, too.
It does. It does. Yeah.
We have a child that we're sponsoring through One Child in the Philippines as well for very just personal, precious reasons. And Pinky Thea is her name. And it's the same thing, Ange. It just changes you. Give a gift, change your life. And I circle back to the promise from Scripture. You give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and He will repay you. And not that He owes us anything, because He gave us His one and only Son, but He's made this promise. And I think the reason it's so important is because He's saying, would you do the very thing that means so much to my heart? Also, pray for our friend Paul as he goes home and takes a nap, because this works so hard.
What's a nap?
He was up so early, and he stayed long for us today. Paul, we love you. Thank you for giving us your time today.
You are very welcome. Anytime.
Yeah, bless you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
One moment.
One moment.
One child.
One child.
As we started this new 3 Hope Centers in Chitolia, in Dinajpur, and in Magura, I personally had the chance to visit Chitolia to do the survey. And when we were going there, we saw that that's a marshy land and the communication is too bad. And when we reached there, we saw that there are no primary school or institute so that the children, they can go. The nearly primary school is kind of like 5 to 6 kilometers away. So we see that there is a great need. Even I know in Dinajpur, people are in darkness. They worship cows, they worship animals. So I see these hope centers are lighthouse for those hard places, for those children and those families.
That was Aaron. He's a one-child leader in Bangladesh, and he's so excited because of our event. They're able to open up 3 Hope Centers now, and he's hoping and praying that we can sponsor the children that can fill those spaces. And you think about what he said. I know his accent was pretty strong but hard to understand, but the closest primary schools for children are about 6 miles away. So just filling in that gap with these Hope Centers can make all the difference. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live. Today and tomorrow, you're going to hear a lot on Faith Radio about One Child. We're partnering with that organization once again to get as many children sponsored as possible. If you want to see some beautiful faces and learn their stories, go to our website, myfaithradio.com. I'm specifically looking at Brito Mystery. It's a boy in Bangladesh, and Kanika Long, a girl in Cambodia. And Brito he's generous and he's respectful and he has energy and he wants to be an educator. And Kanika, this beautiful girl, just stole my heart. I'm praying someone grabs her. I'm praying with all my heart. She wants to be educated, and she is praying for protection. And that hits me so hard, because I just know that children and girls are especially vulnerable in these kinds of situations. You give a gift, you can change your life. If you already know, like, I don't need to pick a child, they can pick one for me, you can call right away and say, count me in. $39 a month, a little more than a dollar a day. You can call 800-864-0200. That's 800-864-0200. Otherwise, you can start the sponsorship process by going to myfaithradio.com. Do remember, though, if you start the process and you don't finish it, that takes that child out of the queue so someone else can't see them. So do determine, once you kind of get to know them, if you really want to do this, follow through and finish it if you're able. We just heard from Paul Perot. He's our morning show producer, and he's the assistant program director. Now we're going to hear from Amanda Nydam, and she is an angel. I think there's like a holy glow that follows her around the office, because she's one of the brightest rays of sunshine on our team. Truly, she fits her job perfectly. She's our listener engagement director, but she also had the opportunity to travel to Nicaragua with a one-child team. So Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
We love you so much, don't we, Ange?
We do. And she is so suited for her job. I hear her on phone calls with listeners, and is just always kind, you know, even if someone, because it happens that someone might not be happy with something.
You get the snarkies. Yeah.
And she's just so kind and nice and loving. So suited for your job.
We are so grateful for you. And, you know, before we dig in to your travels and your thoughts and what you've learned about One Child, we just do ask the same question every day of our guests, and it's just personal. It's just what God's been impressing upon your heart these days. It doesn't have to connect with One Child, but just in your everyday walk with God, what's He been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, so my husband and I are reading through the Bible chronologically, and we are in Jesus's ministry time. So we're in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and over and over this morning especially, I just heard this phrase jump out at me. Jesus had compassion on them. and Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on them. And I was thinking about that. And obviously, it relates to one child, having compassion on someone you're never going to meet and can't even see physically the benefits or what's going to help them. But just even pausing and just how often do we have compassion on people? Like, we just get so busy and so hurried and
And offendable.
We get
into a series of reactions and we're not responding to people. Right?
Yeah. And it just struck me really, really deeply this morning. Like, find ways to have compassion. And maybe that means finding people and finding places where you're going to have compassion. And that takes effort and vulnerability, too.
Wow, beautiful. So good. How did you know? I mean, what happened in you when the opportunity came to travel with one child? You're busy. You got a family. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got lots of things going on in your life. What happened in you that made you realize, I've got to go?
I've had experiences traveling overseas before, and every time God has used them to help me love people more. And I think just the more you see of the world and experience people of different cultures, the bigger the world is. And I love that about God. I love, on this trip, we were able to go to church in one of the Hope Centers in the churches there, and worshiping with people where the language is not the same, but the God is just such a beautiful thing. And so I gladly worked extra before and cleaned up messes later to be able to experience this. It was really life-changing.
That's like a piece of heaven.
Yes, it does. Yes. I've been in those situations before where they're worshiping in other languages and they're jumping and they're dancing.
Yep.
And I'm like, I belong here.
Yes.
This is where I belong. the total shutdown, reserved. I'm like, God must have just, Anyway, I feel so at home with that expression because there's such a joy and there's, such a passion. Angie, were you going to ask
it? No, that was it. Feels like a taste of heaven.
Slice of heaven. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I asked Paul this question too. What did you expect and what did you experience?
So really, to be honest, I did not know a ton about one child and how it worked beforehand. And I didn't really do my homework either. I just kind of went with a little bit of a investigating heart. And I was so pleasantly surprised at how well One Child partners with the churches there. And it was really, really evident. And it changed how I looked at One Child. And it gave me such hope and confidence in going to our listeners and sharing that this is a really, really sweet, sweet partnership between churches that know the culture, know the people, know the neighborhoods, are already serving, already loving on people. And then we, the church in other parts of the world that have resources, can come alongside them and provide them that much more energy and fuel to do what they're doing.
Wow. What stood out most to you of this trip? I mean, what's your takeaway that you came home and said, okay, that moment changed me, or that moment is imprinted on my heart forever?
Mm-hmm. God gave me a really actually painful experience, and I'm so grateful for it. But at the last Hope Center we were visiting, when you come, we were honored guests. They hadn't had many guests, and they did their little dances, and every little age group got to go up and sing a song or say a verse. They all had their little, part they were going to play, and we got to introduce ourselves and shake hands. And then after the niceties and kind of the anxious part of it, the program part of it was over, then we got to just play and be. And so we were able to make bracelets and kind of break off into little groups. And there were a couple girls sitting over in the front of the Hope Center, and they just looked really sullen. And there was one of the child champions, one of the volunteers and people that work with them, was kind of hanging out near them, but not really by them. And I just felt called to go over there. It seemed like maybe they were in trouble. And so, I don't know, I just related and went over there and sat down.
I think it's important to say this. No, that you were a preschool teacher.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you're so good with kids and have such compassion for them, too. Yeah. So I think that's probably a piece of why you felt like, I'm just going to put myself in this situation.
Yeah. So I went and sat by them, and it was so frustrating not to be able to talk with them. Even if it was small talk, I really wanted to connect with them, and I couldn't. So I just sat with them. They were about 10 years old, and it was two girls. And after a little bit, we were just taking in the room. I heard some adults saying, oh, we really need to pray. And, you know, kind of a couple of people gathering up. And so I got up from the steps and went over, and they said, oh, this is such hard news. There's some kids here, a brother, sister, and then two cousins of a mom who just ended her life that night, like hours ago. And they said, the kids aren't really showing emotion and they haven't, you know, we're trying to help them deal with it, but is there a group here willing to pray? I was like, yeah, yeah. And, you know, hearing those words, you can disconnect a little bit. I mean, it's sad, but in that moment, then I was turned and ushered back to those steps by those two little girls. And, it just broke my heart, you know, looking up at their big brown eyes when, I know they have a hard life to begin with, but now everything just crashed. You know, they live with their grandma, and they weren't even showing like real big emotion. They just had this kind of blank look on their face, and that, you know, they hadn't eaten their rice, and they were just there. And we were able to pray with them, which was beautiful and hard. And you know, it. Being in that situation, it breaks your heart, and it just kind of puts a little sting there that's a good sting. You know, it just causes you to like really think big picture and eternal. And the only way I was able to get up off the ground next to those kids after praying with them and crying with them and hugging them and holding them and talking with an interpreter is because look where they are. They're sitting in a Hope Center. They have Christians and others that believe in them and are going to be there for them and pointing them to Jesus, and sponsors somewhere in the world that are helping make that happen. And how sweet that God set them up before this tragedy. And talking with the child champions afterwards, knowing they had a counselor that they were going to help them see. They had talked to grandma. They weren't going to let them fall through the cracks. And I mean, and already just hours later, they had known, and they were there to take care of them. And it's just such a sweet thing that God orchestrated all that for those little kids, and that he got to let me, you know, break my heart a little bit. And it just gives you an urgency. Do what you can now when you can, because you don't know if there's one of these little kids, one of these beautiful faces that is going to have a really hard tragedy next month.
Yeah. And the chances of that are great in a situation like that. The volatility, the crime, all of it. I look forward to the day, maybe in heaven, if not sooner, that you would get to meet their child sponsors, because they're praying for those kids. They're sowing into their lives. And to know that God put you in the right place at the right time. See, all of that is an answer to prayer. And it reminds me of yesterday with Ryan Skook, where he said, I know we got to take a break, but he said our prayers are put in canisters, buried in the rubble of the earth for future generations. And it's like they're giving gifts and they're changing lives and they're praying. And through those prayers, God nudged you. He put you in the right place at the right time. But it requires willing people. Here I am, God, send me, use me. And for a little more than a dollar a day, you can change your life. I know we got a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. And right now, there are children in desperate need of Jesus, in desperate need of food and medical care. This is your time to become their champion, to change their life. When you sponsor just one child, you plant seeds of hope in their heart, and you work together with people on the ground to change the families, communities, and the future for these children. You might not be able to change the world, but for one child, you can change theirs. Would you prayerfully consider sponsoring a child today? You can meet the kids and find your child at myfaithradio.com.
One moment, one child. A child like me.
We have 5 schools in Cambodia, but one that is very interesting is a floating school. The school is part of an entire floating village. The Mye Tre people literally have clustered all their shanties, which is little shacks, together on bamboo rafts, and the village floats all of the time. It's like a giant raft that is probably the size of a football field. And the One Child School is part of the floating village. We provide meals, vitamins, school supplies, and medical checkups to the floating schools that serve 350 children.
Amazing. A floating village in Cambodia where One Child has a floating school. Everything is on the boats and the rafts. People are floating up and down the canals as a village. And One Child is right there bringing hope to these hard places, areas where there's extreme poverty. We want to help children. We are partnering with One Child. I'm Susie Larson here. This is Susie Larson Live. And you're going to hear a lot about this today and tomorrow. Our dream and our prayer is to sponsor as many children as possible for a little more than a dollar a day. The voice you just heard is a man named Derek. My producer, Angie, sent me a link to his story, and I am still thinking about it. That was a week ago. You're not going to believe his story, and we will have him in studio tomorrow. Our hope and our prayer, as you're even hearing from Amanda Nydam, our listener engagement director, is the reality of you give a gift, you change a life, and it doesn't stop there. When you sponsor a child, you get to write letters, you pray for them, and God is orchestrating movement around their lives, and who knows what kind of danger he's rescuing them from. Amanda told the story before the break of how being in the right place at the right time at a Hope Center for two precious girls whose mom took her life the night before, and she was just there, able to be with them, sit with them, pray with them, and they were safe in the Hope Center. They do have a hope and a future, even though it's like the bottom has dropped out of their lives. If you go to myfaithradio.com, you'll get a peek at these children who are desperately waiting for a sponsor. And I'm focusing in on Brito Mistry. He's a boy from Bangladesh, and Kanika Long, a darling girl from Cambodia. They all need you. But it would be so amazing in this hour to get these two sponsored. You can sponsor through the website, myfaithradio.com, or if you're just ready and you're like, pick a child for me, I'll sponsor any child. Go ahead and call 800-864-0200. Amanda, that story just wrecks you. It's just, I love Jesus for sending you there and putting you in that place and moving in you. Give us a little more of an inside glimpse of these hope centers, because what I think is so amazing is they really are coming alongside the local church going, you're already doing something, we're going to help you do it. What a dream for these churches, first of all, to get the kind of help that they need. And what a dream for One Child to be able to say, you're a dream come true because you're already caring for the people in your community. But tell me more about what you saw.
That was a really, really beautiful part of learning on this trip, was seeing the evidence of a church already having a heart for their neighbors, and then One Child being able to give them just a little bit more. I mean, think about someone who is living in poverty and you are offering their child food, help in education. Maybe the only way they can go to school is if they have certain, you know, materials and supplies, and One Child is offering that. What a beautiful gift, and what a beautiful way to evangelize. Like, that gets your attention. When your heart swells, when your kids are getting taken care of and getting gifts that you can't give them, that is such a beautiful thing. And these child champions, these volunteers at these Hope Centers, they are beautiful, beautiful people on fire for God.
Mm-hmm. How did it change you? You love to travel internationally. You love to go on mission trips. I know you've taken them with your daughters before. Mm-hmm. But each trip has its own story, has its own takeaway, you know? I remember traveling with International Justice Mission to Guatemala, and it forever changed me. So how about this one? Like, what, when you step away, you go, this is what's imprinted on my heart now. I mean, what is that?
Well, I just think the urgency, like that story, that painful, like good pain that God put in my heart for those kids that lost their mom, like that is still really real and raw in my heart. And I think it just gives you a little bit more urgency to do now what you maybe could do later, do now. And just to love people. I really do love people.
Mm. I have an old friend who said this way, that Jesus entered into a suffering that was not his own. And he calls us to enter into a suffering that's not our own. He does. And I've also read that with the wealth in the world right now, we could wipe out the world's poverty because there's so much extra. And if you imagine what you could do by giving a gift, changing the life. Wow. Angela, anything else you want to add?
Well, I was just wondering, Susie always asks people, what do you know about God now that you didn't know before? Mm. What did you learn about God on this trip?
learn about God. I think I just really, really reveled in worshiping with others and just seeing the church as one. Like it just really stuck out to me. Like, we're not helping a different church do what they're doing. Mm. We are helping our church.
Brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. The church, the only church. Yes. And it has a lot of different colors and flavors and spices and sounds. But it is church. Yes.
Yes. Can I just insert the dancing?
Yes.
Well, Amanda, thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for joining us today. We love and appreciate you so much. And friends, remember Amanda behind the scenes, because she's serving as a missionary here at Faith Radio, really, in so many ways, as she serves you. She holds you very close to her heart. You just need to know that. Thank you for tuning in today, and continue to be prayerfully considering sponsoring a child. Again, you can call right now, 800-864-0200. Or if you want to specifically just connect with a child, prayerfully look at these precious faces on myfaithradio.com. Either way, we pray that you'll give a gift and you'll forever change your life. Thanks for tuning in. Wait till you hear the story tomorrow. Wait till you hear it. You're not going to believe it. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.